cyber breaches at the Office of Personnel Management and the Ashley Madison cheating website may have something in common. You. The Los Angeles Times reports foreign spy services are aggregating data that they steal from networks all over the United States to build files on U.S. intelligence officers. Ron Marks is senior fellow for the Center for Cyber and Homeland Security at George Washington University and a former CIA special assistant. He says the OPM breach was never about identity theft. Ron, you called it on this program the day after the OPM cyber, or the day after we learned about the OPM cyber breach. Did you see things in the LA Times story that did that surprised you as a veteran of the Central Intelligence Agency? Thanks for coming on today, Ron.
Oh, you're welcome. Sadly, not much. When I was reading that story, all I could think of was, you know, as a former spy myself, you know, where were these guys when I needed them? When I was piling through a bunch of papers in a basement somewhere in Orange Files. No, what you really have here is the human intelligence version of what happened at NSA with Snowden. And that is, it's not going to cost billions in terms of technical programs being redeveloped. This is a question of having a database of human beings, 20 to 30 million, and you see the numbers all over the place. I guess 22 is the last one I saw, who probably aren't going to be going away in toto for about 20 to 30 years. And you're going to have information on some of their peccadilloes. You're going to have information on where they have worked, where they're going to work, perhaps, if they're in the process of application. You're certainly going to have information on some of their more intimate information with regards to polygraph. You're also going to have an indication of where they may be moving and who knows them, which gives you another secondary amount of information in terms of, well, you know, who are they working for? All right, well, and they're not going to stop just working for the United States government. They're going to be working for the contracting community, and they will spread all over, spread all over the government and the contracting community, the national security community, you know, a little bit like a stain on a tablecloth when you spill over the juice. I mean, this is a case of a real human intelligence, and I'm going to use the word disaster because I honestly believe that this is about as bad as it's going to get.
The conversation in the days after the OPM breach revolved around the fact that, well, the fact that the Chinese or the Russians or whoever stole this data, we now believe it was the Chinese that stole the OPM database. The fact that they have this information is not a big deal because the information from the SF-86. Well, the government already knows that was the argument. That's fine, but it strikes me that what the government knows when somebody takes a polygraph test might be dramatically different from what that person's spouse knows or what that person's family knows. And that could be the nexus of where this information's useful and recruiting a network of espionage victims.
Yeah, it gives you a starting point. The 86 would give you a starting point from which to work. And plus, we've had other, as you've discussed on the program, we've had other database breaches. We've had Anthem, which was the health system. We've certainly had Ashley Madison, which I guess is the peccadillo system, and a number of others are going to allow, you know, it's a cross-hatching. These guys aren't just going to be sitting down with OPM SF-86s. They're going to take the information that they have available. They both have very large spy services, the Chinese and the Russians, and I assume the Russians are involved in this too. They will have gone to their version of the private sector in terms of cyber spies. Just parenthetically, it's nice to see a public-private partnership that works. And they will use these guys. And so this isn't just, this gives them a baseline of information, a big baseline of information to work from which they can gather other information to make a portfolio of potential recruitment targets. Now, it's a question, of course, you know, there's a difference between having a potential recruitment target and someone who can be recruited, but you've just built a huge pool of information. Also, frankly, you've given them a list of people to whom they should concentrate their hacking efforts. So, in overall, it's, you know, again, I appreciate that it's just the 86 that they may have access to. There may be other information available there. But again, it contributes a huge database from which they can maneuver and manipulate.
Does where these databases wind up mean something? A lot of people made a big deal, Ron, out of the fact that the OPM database never showed up on the dark web, whereas we have all of this information about celebrities who were in the Ashley Madison database, meaning that that did show up on the dark web, and people can access that a lot more readily than it seems that the average person who wants to fool around in the dark web can find the Anthem breach, for example, or the OPM breach. Does that mean anything about where we find this information?
Not particularly. I was being a little sarcastic before, but not by much. There is a public-private partnership that does go on here, and the Chinese and the Russians in particular have had a good working relationship with a number of websites, both dark and perhaps more light, where they can get this kind of information. I'm less worried about where Joe Dokes in Peoria, Illinois can get it than I am with the fact that you have, you know, two major countries who have two very large cyber units, as such, both in their military, who have great capability to reach out to their private sectors, their private hackers, in networks that they're well aware of, without really any of the restrictions the USG has, to gather that kind of information.
Ron Marks of the Center for Cyber and Homeland Security at George Washington University and a veteran of the Central Intelligence Agency. You mentioned the collaboration with China and Russia. I read recently that they have signed a cyber non-aggression pact, and I find the timing here quite fortuitous, Ron. The cynic in me says that there's some kind of a campaign going on here somewhere.
Well, every time I see a non-aggression pact, all I can think of is the Germans and the Russians in about 1941.
Okay,
so sometimes,
fair enough.
Sometimes that fails. I think that you're seeing two actors who have mutual interests in terms of controlling their net. Two actors who have an interest in counterbalancing the United States, China perhaps more than Russia. I think Russia does it sometimes just to tweak us. They're more of a, perhaps, they're not as great a power right now as China. They know it, but it gives them some leverage with China, some connection with China. If I'm the administration at this point, by the way, this is a really nasty issue. And I know there's been some criticism with regards to what kind of sanctions they may or may not want to put on China. You know, there's a lot of fish in the fire right now with China, and the cyber one is obviously coming up. The Chinese have just been bad actors on this. But it's very clear the administration at this point has been reluctant to go too much further because there's so many other things that are out there. And the Chinese know that. And the Russians know that, too. Cyber is one of those funny issues. It keeps popping, and it keeps getting toward the front of the agenda. But it never really quite breaks through. It reminds me a little bit back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when you're dealing with the Russian organized crime issues in Russia and Ukraine, where there were some real headaches there, real problems there, corruption of the government. But it never quite got through to the top-level agenda, and I think the Chinese and the Russians pretty much know that for us.
Ron, what's my defense if I'm the guy that managed to figure out a shortcut on the polygraph test, and the government doesn't know something about me that now the Chinese or the Russians do, and I get pinged by one of them? What do I do, or am I really stuck, or is this the end of my career, or do I have a way out to defend myself?
I hate to say this, but you really are sort of caught off base at that point. I always believe in those circumstances, and I know people's natural reaction is to try to cover it up or try to push things away. But it never works, and we've seen a list of things long as our arm and more in terms of people who try to cover up activities. Sometimes, frankly, in terms of this, you're just better off going to the security guy and just saying, look, this happened to me. I did this, whatever, but we have to lay this thing out, because I will guarantee you at this point, one of two things is going to happen. Either somebody's going to find out, which means you're really in trouble, because you lied to them and then you didn't turn around and try to somehow bail yourself out of that by going back to them. Or the second thing is you just rendered yourself vulnerable to other people, too. I'm assuming at this point that while the Chinese and the Russians have this stuff, that whichever hackers are involved with this thing are sufficiently entrepreneurial, they may sell it to other people. So I think, I hate to say it, but you raise the white flag, you walk out, and you simply just make it clear, look, this happened, I did this, and you're going to have to deal with the consequences.
And that's back to the question that I had about whether it matters where the database lives, because let's say the Chinese have the OPM breach, just because they're not sellers doesn't mean they're not buyers of something like Ashley Madison.
Absolutely. No, you have a real public-private partnership here, and that's what I meant by that. There mm-hmm. is cyberspace does not differentiate between the public and the private sector. Those are interesting concepts in terms of a 20th century world, But in terms of 21st century information at this point, to put it politely, it's fungible. Anybody can get access to this thing. Good actors and bad actors can use this information. So once it's out there, it's out there. And, you know, whether Google promises to erase you, which I always find amusing, as though somehow there are no other, there are no other servers beside Google out there.
Right.
That this you're stuck, and it in many ways it reminds me of what my mom used to say about your permanent record. Remember in high school, she would say, "Well, if you do that, it's going to be on your permanent record."
Uh-huh.
And we congratulations, we now all have permanent records.
That's pretty scary stuff, Ron. Thanks for coming on as always, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome, Francis. Take care.